GetRockAuto.com.
Gasoline prices fell for most Americans to an average of $2.92 a gallon. That's down just over 3 cents a gallon from last week. USA Radio Network's John Clements has more.
Motorists in California are still paying the highest at $3.74, but even that was a decline of 5 cents a gallon. Residents of South Carolina still have the lowest at $2.58. Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us not every state saw a decrease in prices.
46 of the nation's 50 states saw average prices decline. The unlucky four with increases: Michigan, Idaho, Ohio, and South Dakota.
For USA Radio News, I'm John Clemens.
Tyson's Food has recalled just over 3,100 pounds of frozen chicken after the company discovered it may have been contaminated by pieces of blue and clear soft plastic. The recall applies to 12-pound boxes featuring 3-pound bags of uncooked, breaded, original chicken tenderloins. The chicken was sold at restaurants across the country. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Kia Motors plans to recall over 500,000 cars to fix an airbag flaw. USA Radio Network's Wendy King tells us which vehicles.
The recall includes 2010 to 2013 Kia Forte and Forte Coupe sedans, also 2011 through 2013 Kia Optima sedans, and 2011 and 2012 Kia Optima hybrid sedans and Sedona minivans. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration released a statement. In the event of a crash, the airbag control unit may short-circuit, preventing the frontal airbags and seatbelt pretensioners from deploying. Kia said that it's still working on a remedy with the recall set to begin on July 27th.
Today, IHOP announced it would be changing its name to IHOB with a B for burgers. The change is not permanent, though, according to a company spokesman. Darren Rebels is the president of IHOP. He joined Fox and Friends to talk about if they're still, in fact, going to have pancakes.
We're always going to have pancakes on the menu.
Okay.
We're always going to be IHOP. America loves burgers, and America loves IHOP, and we thought this was a fantastic combination to bring America's burgers to an iconic brand like IHOP.
Rebels was also asked about the International House of Pancakes.
Well, we have restaurants in a lot of countries around the world. We have almost 1,700 restaurants in the U.S. and about another 100 or so internationally. But we're growing like crazy right now.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
It is time for the Mike Hewitt Show, brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com. Happy, happy, happy to be back. How about you, Mike?
I absolutely am, folks. Listen, I am Mike Hewitt. My co-hosts, Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedendorski. Listen, guys, I'm reading here that Rodman, this is an article from the New York Post. Dennis Rodman will be in Singapore during President Trump's summit this coming week, and Not only that, but he was there as part of an early meeting, it looks like.
I don't know if most people even realize, but Rodman was on his show, The Apprentices, which is where Trump
grew
his friendship with him. And obviously we know that Rodman was one of the first people to go to North Korea to sit with Kim Jong-un as an American citizen. And he said he was, I think his direct quote when he came back was, he was a cool dude.
That's what Rodman said about Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Is that in between him killing his citizens?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, my take on it was, I kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I said, is that Henry Kissinger? No, that's Dennis Rodman. When you look at the bunch of them, and I mean this part sincerely, Dennis Rodman, Kim Jong-un, and Donald Trump, those are three people that you would never think, wow, they have a lot in common.
I'm going to say it's the best trio since the Three Stooges.
I was a little bit kind of taken back. That's something that I would have thought that normal negotiations would have dissuaded, would have frankly not allowed. And this seems to be encouraged. Have you, as the State Department or the Trump administration, or anyone commented on Rodman's trip there?
I haven't heard about it that terms, but I think it's a good thing. He goes in the day before, softens up Un a little bit, lets him know who Trump is.
Do you think Un really actually looks at Dennis Rodman with respect and do you honest?
Oh,
I'm not trying to be flippant, but one's a dictator leader and the other one a sports athlete / entertainer.
Well, Rodman's a superstar from the NBA. I mean, he was a legitimate player from Detroit, San Antonio, and the Bulls.
And you're thinking Kim Jong-un is a big sports enthusiast?
That's the word, is he is a huge basketball fan.
Okay.
And you have, I mean, one of the top 50 players in the history of the game coming to...
So that's the connection.
Giving you...
So he likes being able to be surrounded by a hero, I guess, from the...
Absolutely.
From the court.
Yeah, I think it really does matter. I think it is a big deal to Un. Rodman, as crazy as he is, he's actually a very intelligent guy. I read his book when it came out in the...
Dennis Rodman?
Late 90s, yeah.
You didn't read my book.
Yes, I did!
Miles, are you with me yet?
Yeah, I am. I was playing around with my mute button.
Oh, it works. What's your take on this, Miles Bauer?
I'm somewhere between fake news and nothing burger. Even the article itself says nothing's been firmed up about him actually being a part of it. They said that they're still exploring roles that he might play. And it sounds like what the big connection here is that Rodman, many moons ago, gave Kim Jong-un a copy of The Art of the Deal to provide some insights into who Donald Trump was.
So did he do that while Donald Trump was a candidate or a president? Was it relatively recent?
I didn't see when he actually did it.
Okay.
I was just reading that part, and that Rodman was trying to give North Korea a sense of who personally Donald Trump was.
Okay.
And remember, he's not in the negotiations. They're making it sound like it's going to be and Rodman sitting across from Un. That's not happening.
Yeah. My interpretation, and not just from this article, again, was from the New York Post, but I read a couple different articles on it, and I watched it on cable TV. My impression was he was like a for lack of better words, a softening agent. He went in advance to make nice and put a human side to these negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regard, by the way, I think he's a stellar choice. If Kim Jong-un, as you suggest, is warm to that sport and specifically warm to this guy as a legend on the court, if you will.
Yeah, and we know from his previous trips there that they get along very well. I mean,
now, do you think Kim Jong-un went, wow, I'm reading this new book and this capitalist stuff sounds pretty good?
Yeah, why do you think he's at the table?
I want a Mickey D's and everything.
I can get richer by allowing capitalism?
I don't know how he's going to get any richer. He's got the entire nation's wealth in his own pocket.
Well, he can start taking other countries' wealth.
You think so?
Yeah, allowing new companies to come in, he can just start taking more wealth.
I think on that point, there is going to be a lot of investment if they can put some kind of deal together.
It's an untapped market.
But right now, there's no the folks are dirt poor. So it's not like you can open a... Maserati store there and expect to sell a lot of vehicles. There's no income, but they've got to be built up. But it's one of the markets. It'll be like the new horizon where everyone's in a big rush to get a piece of it.
Yeah, because nobody's presumably got a dishwasher or washer and dryer. Just like we were in the 1950s,
Yeah, they're not even there.
They're just going to start coming in and buying and building and buying and become a consumer society.
And listen, the contrast is the obvious one. You can look at South Korea and look at North Korea. Mm-hmm. And I've joked about it before, but if you do it on Google Earth during one of the evenings, and wow, the one looks like it's part of the ocean. There's only lighting in the capital city.
What is the population comparison between the North and South?
You know what? We had those numbers. We talked about that a while back.
Okay.
And I can't remember them. Now, Miles, do you recall? I don't either. Ludwig is on it. I'm telling you, he grabbed his trusty iPhone, and he's one of the younger generation that can do like 70 words a minute with two thumbs.
And the other question I have, even though we don't know a lot about the country because they're rather secretive, do a lot of their population have government jobs? Are they busy working? Are they just poor because
I think they're poor.
They don't work, or because
I think I think they spend a lot of time being very hungry.
Okay.
By the way, to your point, which is very secretive, but if you look at the folks that have escaped, the most recent one with the soldier,
right,
that was from their elite forces, and the guy was filled with infestations, worms and whatnot.
Right.
So you're thinking, wow, if this guy is part of the elite, what's the rest of them doing?
Exactly.
North Korea is about half of South Korea. South Korea is 51. North is just over 25.
Okay, so there's a disparaging difference. But part of that goes, I wonder how much immigration, because of corporate investment, that's poured into South Korea.
Oh, yeah. And the life expectancy, it says, in North Korea, I didn't look at South Korea, but North Korea is, around 65.
Okay, so they're a little bit behind the edge for the rest of the world.
Yeah, so their population is going to be lower because they don't live as long, too.
That's right. Part of it. Part of it is immigration. Part of it is, I think it's all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But Kim Jong-un, it's hard to rationalize where this guy's thinking from, you know, what position he comes to the table with. And I don't mean that disparagingly. I don't understand that mindset.
Let me ask you this, then. Either one of you, Miles, Mike, either anybody. Usually by the time a corporation or business goes to the third generation, there's a lot of changes and there's less caring in maintaining the status quo because they don't know what it took to build it.
You're talking about a small company.
Yes, or even a large company, Walmart.
Mom and Pop's Chevrolet dealership.
Yeah. We see that kind of with Kim Jong-un, is that he's that third generation removed from the founding of North Korea Republic, whatever. Is he willing to go away from that because he's that third generation? He doesn't quite have that same...
My short answer, then we'll go to Miles, but my short answer is I don't know that any of that plays a part of this. I think the embargoes, the economic impact that Donald Trump has had on that nation is crippling them. I think he's going, well, listen, I did read the book, and this is a problem, and we're starving to death. Just like we talked about with Brian just now, when your elite soldiers have got worms in them to the point where they're dying or being shot to get out of there, that tells you that Kim Jong-un, forget what his ideology or rationale is, they have to do something different. Miles, what say you?
I'd say what I've said several times in the past. I think he's on a short leash from China.
I think that's very, very true. Absolutely, because China's looking at this as, like I've always talked about, soft power. They're using their financial worth to push their narrative, and that includes North Korea.
Do you think that's Trump doing it, though? Because if China still goes to North Korea and does what they say they won't do, Trump will retaliate against China. Unlike other presidents.
But listen, part of what we're going to talk about after the break is exactly that. Folks, we'll be right back.
RenegadeRiver.com, America's new hunting, camping, and survival store. Lightweight hiking all the way to large family tents, even inside children's play tents. Camping and emergency lighting gear. Top shelf Rothko outerwear. First aid. And the full line of rugged folding Montague bikes for in-town touring or out in the middle of nowhere. You'll find Mountain House freeze-dried foods for camping and emergencies. And yes, of course, firearms. There's a lot to check out, all at low prices. RenegadeRiver.com, family owned and growing fast. RenegadeRiver.com, because you deserve it.
Ready for a great day on the boat?
Oh, yeah. Hand me that cooler, will you?
Okay. That everything?
Food, sunscreen, tackle, bait, life jackets?
Nah, we won't need them.
Yeah, but I kind of promised my wife.
No, life jacket? That's a deal breaker, Robert.
Yeah, and I promised my daughter.
Come on, Daddy.
Hand me one of those life jackets, will you?
Yeah. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the women who nag you. love you.
Hey, we're Fireflies, and we're out here every night rocking out our light show at a forest near you. So come check us out.
Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is the Mike Hewitt Show, proudly brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com. Take a look, RenegadeRiver.com.
Absolutely, folks. If you're just tuning in, I am Mike Hewitt, my co-host, Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedemdorski. Listen, before we went to the last break, we were talking about North Korea, and right towards the end of it, I think we got to the important part, which is what is China's role in this? And interestingly enough, we'll call it a coincidence, the very next topic is China offers to buy nearly $70 billion worth of U.S. products to fend off trade tariffs. So I ask the obvious question, what's the U.S. market worth? And which was the last president that asked, what is the U.S. market worth to you that you want to do business here? And the answer is none. And that plays a significant role both in how China is dealing with the threat of tariffs and how China is dealing with their satellite country, North Korea. Miles, you got cut off in the last time around, so what's your thoughts on this?
In reading the article, I thought it was interesting how, in the midst of the negotiations, some of the numbers that they are throwing around that China's willing to go with, there are questions whether our industries could actually ramp up quick enough to meet some of those demands. We may not be able to manufacture that much agricultural products to actually meet some of those monetary targets. And I thought that that was fascinating. How many times do I remember throughout my life where the United States couldn't produce enough products?
I bet we could if they stopped paying agriculturals not to grow.
Or they're paying the milk folks to pour the milk out, stories we've heard over the last couple of decades.
Yeah, or don't grow this and grow this because that's what the, yeah, I think we could.
Listen, when I look at what Donald Trump has done in terms of negotiation and sales with China, I'm reminded again of Sales 101, every class that I've ever taught. So, and it's true, folks, you can go to DuckDuckGo and find this out. The number one reason why sales are lost is because the salesperson didn't ask for the sale. That's the number one reason. So if you look and say, what happened with Clinton? He obviously tried. I don't understand what he was doing. We gave away a lot of technology and we got nothing. What Clinton didn't do, what Carter didn't do, frankly, what Nixon didn't do, what none of them did is ask for the sale. Mm-hmm. It's a huge market in China. We all talk about it's in the media at least once a week, regardless of what the current 7 to 10 day news cycle is. It's an incredible market. We've never been a legitimate part of it, and none of our presidents have ever asked for the sale. If you want to be in our market, we must be in your market. Do you want to make a deal? It's really that simple. And that dialogue, that real simple bottom line, has never been expounded on with a trade partner like China, and I find that lunacy.
I think it's funny that all these European countries are mad about these tariffs, and China obviously is upsetting everybody. But the second, and we're going to go into a trade war, which I think is bogus. I think that's a media fear tactic. The moment he talks about tariffs, they're willing to come to the table. It's part of the deal. He wrote a book on this.
But you've only seen this happen five times in a row, so what makes you think that's the way it is? That's the fun part about the media.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many times he said tariff, they say less deal. The very next time he says tariff, then they get a whole bunch of talking heads out. Well, you know, I'm not a supporter of tariffs. Okay, but the last five deals, it worked pretty darn good.
Yeah, and I don't think Trump is either.
I don't know. He's using
it as a tactic.
I think you're right, but to me it doesn't even matter what he thinks, because what he's doing is he's asking for the sale, he's closing the deal. These are all keys, and I don't care whether you're selling cars or $70 billion with a miscellaneous product, to Miles' point, that we may or may not be able to produce. I think we can produce it. And I say that because you can go back in history. You don't even have to be a historian to say, look, what was our production nationally in 1940, and what was it in 1944? In 3 years, we turned it around because we had to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now, if you look at everyone's talking about wage, not everyone. The very left is talking about wage stagnation. The interesting part about that is wages are going up dramatically because of competition, because of the increased market. Is that correct, Miles Bauer?
That's what I've read, yeah.
It's what I'm reading everywhere. And even on the uber left side, they're acknowledging that while then they go on to disagree with the points that they make. It's like triple sow cow and a double toe loop all in the same article, as they're trying to turn this into a negative. It gets a little bit laughable. That's my view.
No, the one point, though, here is on this article, it says that they're going to give $70 billion, but Trump's asking to close the $325 billion gap by at least $200 billion.
Right.
So they're still a little ways away from what he's asking. But one thing I read in marketing and heard a professional talk about in sales here with Trump, obviously, is ask for the most you ever want, because you won't get it unless you ask for it. Knowing you're not going to,
well, listen,
so you get what you actually do.
The cliche is that I can ski downhill, but I can't ski up.
Yeah.
So if you started out at 70 and your goal was 300, that's the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So if I'm at 300 and he ends up at 100, by the way, if he only ended up with 70, to Miles's point, the question is how quick will it take us to turn our production capacity on both agri and manufacture to fill those orders? But in either case, it's way the heck more than any of the presidents have gotten since China started communicating with the world.
So could this deal bring back those jobs that Obama said would never come back? They're gone. They're vanished. Well,
those jobs are already back.
Oh, okay. So they did come back.
They did come back. Listen, I got to tell you, this is where I get in trouble here. But the vast majority of the folks that are not working right now are making a decision not to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality of it. And I know people get mad at me and their hair catches on fire, but it's the truth of it. I know a lot of employers that are starving for help. The trades across the United States, and it's part of the problem, goes to Miles's point again, part of the problem with can we fill these orders is that the trades are really down, because we've had two generations that we've taught our young people, you got to go get a bachelor's degree in nothingness or you won't succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're not succeeding, but they got $80,000 in debt, and we still have a huge trades shortage, welders, electricians, etc. Go, Miles, what do you think?
One of the things that I thought was fascinating that they're talking about is that we're contemplating sending over a ton of coal,
right,
which is going to absolutely put a shot in the arm of the coal industry in the United States like it's not seen in many decades.
No!
Clean coal.
That's Obama and Clinton right now. No, you're bringing back coal? That dirty little coal?
Here's the fun part about that. They really don't care if it's somewhere else.
No.
Because it's not in the face of their Uber left. That's the fun part. It's kind of like we can't have a modernized gas or petroleum refinery. So we're literally, think about this for a minute, folks. Because our regulations are so steeped in the United States, there's been one or two refineries built since 1971. And all of our excess, when we go beyond our current capacity, we're importing it from countries that are literally using 1950s technology. So we're literally importing refined gasoline, and then we're wondering why our fuel prices are so high. It's because we're stupid. But the Uber left, they don't see that, so it's out of sight, out of mind. Life is good. Well, no, it's still being refined. And if you were really worried about the environment, you'd want to do something different so our technology could actually have an effect on it rather than using 1950s technology and then the risk of shipping that stuff across an ocean.
And then they'll go plug their electric car in to have the coal-powered plant charge it.
No such thing as electric car. Those are coal burners.
Yep.
Outrageously priced coal burners. Yeah, Miles?
No, and I've got a ton of them in my neighborhood. I laugh every time I go around one of the chargers.
Yep. Yep. And but listen, the part I don't laugh about is those are heavily subsidized with tax money.
And have you
ever
seen the mines
government
for the batteries?
Oh, yeah.
They're destroying the earth.
Yeah. And you ever seen what they do with those batteries once the batteries die?
They don't have a way to dispose of them.
Folks, I'm just telling you, as a person that's concerned about conservation, that stuff is absolutely nutty. It's not like I disagree with it. The science of it is nutty.
It's more destructive than any gas-powered car there is.
But listen, what's that Reagan used to say? They just know so much that isn't so. That's what I'm saying. All right, folks, we're going to go to a break on that note. We'll be right back.
We're Sound Income Strategies, and baby boomers who work with us know the secret to a great retirement is our middle name, income. At Sound Income Strategies, we transform high-fee, high-taxed retirement spend-down schemes into sustained retirement income. And we can do the same for you. For your free, no-obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
It's time to get off the Wall Street roller coaster, stop the retirement spend down schemes, and join the income generation. For your free, no obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. Sound Income Strategies, the secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
Call 866-913-1234.
Dear Smokey Bear, for teaching us how to prevent wildfires for 70 years, outdoor lovers would like to say something.
Happy 70th, big guy. Let's bring it in for a bear hug. Come on.
For safety tips, visit SmokeyBear.com. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state foresters, and the Ad Council.
USA Radio News.
We are just under 8 hours from President Trump meeting face-to-face with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Earlier today, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo addressed the media.
The complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization of the Korea Peninsula is the only outcome that the United States will accept.
Former Ambassador to the United Nations, Bill Richardson, said he likes what he's seeing so far.
Well, I'm getting some good vibrations. I think it's very important that the summit focus on the main issue of denuclearization.
The Interior Department announced that they would be spending $256 million in funding on infrastructure projects at 22 national parks. The parks include the Great Smoky Mountains, Mount Rushmore, and Yellowstone. The money will be spent on updating visitor centers, repairing some flood damage, and also rehabilitating wastewater systems. Currently, the Dow Jones is up just over 50 points today. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take?
Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is the Mike Hewitt Show, brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com, and we are back for more.
We absolutely are, folks. If you're just tuning in, I am Mike Hewitt, my co-hosts, Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedendorski. Listen, guys, let's talk about the primaries this week. There were eight state primaries, so I want to focus on California a little bit. There's some strange things that happened in California. Miles, did you watch it? Are you watching it unfold out there?
Yeah, I was going to say the one thing that kind of stuck out to me, you know, California is based on the jungle primary system. So
let me just
stop.
I just want to stop you for a minute to make sure folks understand. You're not calling it jungle primary. They're referring to it as jungle primary. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. I want to make sure someone didn't think you were being slang, because to me it sounds like an obnoxious comment.
Yeah.
But it's their term.
And apparently what it means is, regardless of party, the top two vote getters are in effect the two candidates in a given race.
So they will go on to the general, the top two vote getters. And at least for some of the other states that hear us, Michigan as an example, we use that kind of race in a nonpartisan, like a judicial race that's nonpartisan. So there could be five or six people running for judge. The top two are going to go on to the, regardless of their party, because they don't announce a party. And that appears to be what California is trying to do while continuing to be married to the labels Republican or Democrat. At any rate, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so in two of their U.S. House races, because, you know, the Democrats are banking on the fact that they're going to flip the U.S. House at the midterm. In two of their House races, up until about 2 o'clock this morning, it was not clear whether a Democrat would have landed in one of the two top spots.
Are these two, Miles, just are these two spots that we're talking about, are they currently held by Democrats, or are they Republican now, and now they have now they'll switch them?
I think the both of them are Republican.
So we're losing two seats in California is what I'm getting out of that. We, the Republican Party, correct?
Well, we're not necessarily losing them, because the Republican ended up to be the top vote getter. Most of the night, though, another Republican held the second vote.
I see. They were thinking they were going to get completely squelched out and not have a name in the general at all.
Yep.
It's just it's not bad. It's just a very different system than most of the rest of, not all, but most of the rest of the United States use.
And so basically, had things not flipped like that, we would have found out at 2 o'clock in the morning this morning, there's no way the Democrats could have flipped the House. That would have been just earth-shattering.
Now, on their gubernatorial side, the guy that come up, the Republican...
John Cox.
...is John Cox. And now he's a Trump Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, I'm reading all of these various articles, one from the Washington Examiner, studying midterms, GOP strategists ask, what does it mean to approve of Trump? Now, this is my take on that article without drilling into it, folks. You're welcome to go there. But my take on it is if you embrace Trump, your chances are a lot better than if you push away. And you can ask Jeff Flake that from Arizona.
Yeah.
That's what it means to be a Trump supporter.
It's funny because I remember the last two elections prior to 2016, a lot of them were asking Obama, stay away, please.
Well, yeah.
Don't come to my campaign.
But that's not what we're seeing now.
No, we're saying Trump, please come in.
Even though the media is telling us something opposite. And by the way, on that, let me do an inset, Miles. You and I got to have a brief debate. I really pushed back all through the primary last year on the word populist. I tend to really find the concept of populist politics to be lesser than desirable. And that's one of the things I had against Trump during the primary. Having said that, when I watch what Donald Trump is doing, it's not what I identify as populist politics. It's fixing stuff. It's nuts and bolts fixing stuff. And if it were popular, he wouldn't be leaving any room for the media to bag on him. He's just doing stuff regardless of what the media and the uber left says. That's not populism by definition. Am I misreading that, Miles? Help me.
Right, but see, the problem is the term came from the media and probably from the globalists. So they're trying to tag him with something that would not properly describe what he is going to do, because I wasn't necessarily thinking he was a populist either, nor do I think, because, you know, they're trying to say what's going on in Italy right now, being anti-immigration, that now populist leaders are riding there. So it's like the media has come up with this term populist as a negative tag on anybody who doesn't agree with them.
I agree with you, but I'll tell you, though, was it 2000? I can't remember the year. Maybe it was into the 90s when Donald Trump had contact and was going to be or was, I can't remember, but had a relationship with a populist party that by its name was the populist party. So they're not necessarily picking this word out of thin air, but I've often mocked some of the conservative friends of mine on Facebook where they're ragging on Donald Trump for the things he's doing, but I can go back 3 years on their own Facebook pages and find where they supported exactly the things that he's now doing.
Yeah, I think the one you're talking about is the one that Pat Buchanan ended up being the nominee.
Yeah.
I thought it was the Constitution Party.
No, it wasn't the Constitution Party. Those folks were very conservative Christians.
It was I don't remember being a populist. I've watched a lot of the documentaries on them, but I remember this happening. It was in, I think, 92.
It doesn't matter. To the greater point of California and across the United States, what we saw is Trump victories, and the media didn't. They still don't get it.
We've only had one Trump-backed candidate in a primary lose, and
Which
that was in Alabama.
He
shouldn't have backed it.
Have done that. That was the mistake.
Yeah.
The guy had more baggage than a whole 80-car train.
Well, this was before Moore, right? Like, Moore winning the primary, he backed the other guy who lost to Moore, and then Moore got beat. But obviously, that seat's going to end up becoming a Republican again here as soon as that election's back up. But Trump is the key to victory.
Fascinating down there, too.
What's that?
Another fascinating thing down there in Alabama, the Republican who was bagging on Trump now finds herself in a runoff. And then the other thing to bring out, Dianne Feinstein, who did not get the endorsement of the California Democrat Party.
And then won overwhelmingly.
Easily took.
And listen, that goes to the point we've made all along. The Democratic Party structure, the leadership, the folks that, and in truth, the grassroots that make up the party, those folks are so far left of most Democratic voters who are, frankly, in my view at least, most Democratic voters are still JFK Democrats. And that's not even remotely where, I joked during the commercial break, folks, that the Democratic Party itself now is more like a Castro Democratic Party, and the folks that vote Democrat are lion's share still JFK Democrats. And that's what you're seeing in California when she can't get the nomination but gets an overwhelming support of Democratic voters. It seems like the leadership would pause and go, are we on the right track or the wrong track here? They don't seem to be willing or able to ask that obvious question.
I would ask two questions, Mike. Where's the blue wave? And do you really think California wants to secede after we're seeing what's going on in the primaries?
Even the secede dialogue has kind of fallen off. But go ahead, Ludwig.
Well, I don't think that the majority wants to secede. I think it's the lesser percentage, like normal. And the blue wave never existed. This, again, it was another made-up term. When once these tax cuts went through and people saw more paychecks, unemployment's low, this wave is gone.
But I will say, I agree, the blue wave is just media hype. But I will say that there are still factions within the state of California that would like to secede from California itself and break into two or three states.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole different equation than will they secede from the union.
And we heard the same thing about Texas, I think, in 2012, that they were going to look at secession. Because in their statehood, they do have the ability. It's written in their statehood. They're the only state with that.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm a states' rights guy. I think the founders wouldn't have signed into this agreement without the right to secede, but let them try it and see what happens. Folks, we've got to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
RenegadeRiver.com, America's new hunting, camping, and survival store. Lightweight hiking all the way to large family tents, even inside children's play tents. Camping and emergency lighting gear. Top shelf Rothko outerwear. First aid. And the full line of rugged folding Montague bikes for in-town touring or out in the middle of nowhere. You'll find Mountain House freeze-dried foods for camping and emergencies. And yes, of course, firearms. There's a lot to check out, all at low prices. RenegadeRiver.com, family owned and growing fast. RenegadeRiver.com, because you deserve it.
Smart home technology? Meet beautiful window coverings with Smart Shades by Budget Blinds and Lutron. Easy and affordable automated shades that open and close at the touch of a button. Budget Blinds is North America's number one provider of custom window coverings, and Lutron is the most established name in smart home technology. So now you get the best in both fashion and function with our beautifully styled Smart Shades. We're your local experts, and we do it all for you. You just sit back and enjoy the seamless functionality of smart home automation to program and control your shades. Get style and service for every budget. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free smart home consultation. Call now to get a free smart lighting control bundle with your smart shade purchase. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or go online to budgetblinds.com. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today. at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
You are hearing the Mike Hewitt Show, brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com, and into the final portion of the show already. It is the Enigma Report, isn't it?
Kind of.
Okay.
It's kind of a slap-happy Enigma.
Slap-happy?
Yeah, kind of. Listen, folks, if you're just tuning in, I am Mike Hewitt, and Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedemdorski, my co-hosts. Before we jump in the next topic, which is Ludwig's topic, we've kicked the can 3 days in a row, and he's been tearing up, but I have to give a disclosure. The things that Ludwig say are not representative of this show, Miles Bauer, or myself. Ludwig, what would you like to tell us about the Miss America pageant?
That they're changing everything.
Why? Who is they, and what does that mean?
So, the two big changes, well, a couple big changes. Okay, one is they're getting rid of the bathing suit competition.
And you think what about that?
It's tradition. It's always been there. Why are you getting rid of it?
Only since 1921. So when you say it's tradition, you're kind of stretching that a little bit.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Just a few times it's happened.
Okay.
They're also getting rid of the evening gown.
They're not getting rid of it. They're saying you can wear what you want to wear.
They're getting rid of that term and that part saying that you can wear whatever you want.
Yep.
Their other thing is they're changing it from a pageant to a contest.
Is that bad?
The meanings are different.
Well, help us.
Well, contest, I guess.
They're both contests. Both of them.
Pageant means you're going to show off. Like,
okay.
You're showing off your talents, your beauty, elegance, whatever, your intelligence, all
right.
Those things.
Right.
A contest sounds to me like I'm going to color a picture and enter it.
Okay.
Or I'm going to text 200-200 and try to win $1,000.
Okay.
Then they're also going to endorse, no matter what you look like, what size you are, you should apply to enter.
Okay. Is that a bad thing? It's not a beauty pageant.
It's not
pageant.
A bad thing.
It's not a beauty pageant. That's where you're
But that's
confused.
What Miss America has become, and as far as I've always known it
it's
was.
It became a beauty pageant.
Is what I've always known it as.
Has it always been?
So far as I know.
Well, see, what I thought it was, whoever was the winner of the state pageants were the entries to the
Miss America. Yeah.
So that would totally, how does that affect that aspect of the entries?
Well, I guess then you'd have to get the states to determine if they're going to be accepting of everyone. And then,
is this part of the Me Too movement?
I think so, because right now, as of today, or just a few months ago, this is the first time in the history of the contest that the entire executive board and people who operate it are all women.
Right.
And it's three women who are in charge, and it's the first time ever, and we're getting all these changes.
Isn't it Gretchen, what's her name?
Gretchen Carlson, who also tried to sue Bill O'Reilly.
Okay. When you say it that way... You're putting negative spin on her rather than him. Is that right?
Yeah.
Because you think it's a fake charge?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think he was guilty of whatever she's suggesting? I don't know.
I think Bill O'Reilly just talks the way he does and acts the way he does. And
part of it goes to what we had when what Sarah said when Sarah was a guest on the show several times, by the way. But she said it's a different climate. Those words and that mannerism, and I'm not putting words in her mouth a little bit, but times have changed, and that's not acceptable anymore.
Yeah, right or wrong.
Now, this is from a woman that's a very successful person in the marketplace, and she's very good looking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, my problem with it is that I think a person can be all of those things, and what they're going to do, in my view, we'll find out if I'm right or wrong. But we're watching them do to themselves what I believe the NFL did to itself.
They're destroying them.
They're destroying themselves out of political, it's not even political correctness, it's them trying to use their power to alter the culture. The problem with that is that the culture doesn't really want to be altered.
What I'm getting frustrated with is, and I have no problem, I do not, disclosure here, I don't care if you're man or woman,
so you
black,
think,
white.
You think men should be allowed to be in that pageant?
No.
You just said.
No.
Miles, is that what
I
you
said
just
disclosure,
said?
I'm not done.
I was waiting for him to do that. Miles Bauer, is that what the boy just said, that boys and girls can run in that
maybe that's
pageant?
What they're looking for. I don't know.
Well, so I don't know if it's gender specific. plus, given that it's 85 genders, But I do wonder about this, though, Mike. So back in when our culture wouldn't have the TV camera showing Elvis gyrating on television,
right?
And now it will. Is that necessarily a culture going backward?
Depends
on that just change.
Listen, it depends on who you ask. I like change. Change is fine. I'm not pushing back on it. But every time I hear an example like that, I reflect back to the show, Ludwig, I think you were on in 2015,
mm-hmm.
and I had the picture of a subway.
Yep.
And it's still on the show's Facebook page, folks, and I think it's probably on the MikeHewittShow.com, but we did it. It was 1955 versus 2015. There was a subway. They looked identical, the two subways did. In 1955, everyone was well-dressed. They were well-mannered. They were well-groomed. They were obviously on a mission. They looked industrious. And on 2015, that image on a very similar subway looked like a scene out of Mad Max. And so was it a cultural change? You betcha. Is it a cultural change that we've wisely made? I would submit the answer is no.
But for me, for the enigma part of all this is, my disclosure was that I think the best person for the job to go in. But
man
what I'm seeing
woman.
Is...
Man
yes.
or woman in the competition.
Yes. No, in the competition for the job.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing is when women are put in charge of these types of things,
yeah.
we're seeing a cultural agenda.
The same
thing's happening in Star Wars.
Folks, remember
same
the
thing's
part,
happening in Miss America now.
Remember the part up front when I said whatever Ludwig says is not representative of this show, Miles or I? This is why I gave you the warning, because him and I had this dialogue yesterday. And I knew his position. Yes, Miles.
Mike, beware of middle-aged women.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Yes.
When I said, who caused the problems? Middle-aged white women.
They are. they're trying to put everything into social change. They get in these high-powered positions.
So
it's all about social change rather than actually doing the job.
So now every time you say something, I'm going to have to give Brian the green light, but ask him to keep his finger on the button and to give a disclosure. This is not necessarily representative of Miles and Mike.
Hey, I'm like Trump, man. I'm willing to say it the way it is.
So you think women shouldn't be in charge?
No, I don't think that they shouldn't be in charge.
That's what you're
I
saying.
Think when you're putting,
we're in the kitchen and barefoot and pregnant.
Nah,
and,
no, no, no.
Oh, my goodness.
If you're put in a position.
That's what you're saying.
Do the job you're
going to do. If Sarah was in the studio.
I think she'd agree with me.
She'd knock you right out of your chair.
She would agree with me. She would say, she's in her job pushing social change, or is she doing her job?
I'd say, where'd Ludwig go? He's over there behind the counter.
Is she doing her job or pursuing social change? What do you think?
Let's ask her. Well, we'll get her back on. She's going to take you to town.
She'll tell me she's going to do her
the
job.
The idea that you're saying that women are engaged, this is what you were saying, that women are engaged for social change and not leadership.
That's what I'm seeing. It's not my opinion. It's fact. The Star Wars series, the lady put in charge of that is destroying it.
Is not necessarily fact.
It's not my opinion. It's
so,
my.
So remember when I told you, when you said, is this an Enigma report, and I said it's a mixed bag? He is the mixed bag. Okay. Folks, you got to see him. He's bright.
Oh, we're shaking it up now.
Big dumb grin on his face going, what just happened to me?
Hey, I'll say it because I agree. I believe it. I'm seeing it. Marissa Mayer took over Yahoo and destroyed it. Yahoo was one of the top tech companies, and she killed it.
What's that? You were talking poorly about Carly Fiorina.
Yeah,
she's
destroyed two companies.
Do you think that's because she's a nitwit or because she's female?
I think she's unqualified for the job.
Because she's female.
No.
Ludwig.
It had nothing to do with
sex.
Shame
on you. Your folks got to work with you on this problem.
Had nothing to do with sex. The CEO of Uber, who was a male, was unqualified.
Yeah, well, Uber is an unqualified concept.
Hey, talking about the current one or the one, the previous one?
The one that just resigned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Miles.
Do you think Kelly Conway did a bad job for Trump?
She did amazing. She was qualified for the position. She did a really good job.
What if she's female? What about her gender?
Don't care about that.
Now
she's qualified.
Do. 5 minutes ago, you were saying women shouldn't be in leadership positions because they're trying to social engineer us.
No.
That's what you said.
No.
Listen,
we're finding women in these leadership positions going with a social agenda rather than actually performing the duties of the job.
You're not going to be safe in public for a long time.
It's true. It's in the articles. Read them. Find
them.
The
other enigma I wanted to make sure we touched on. In a heated interview, Putin says, ask the State Department about Soros. He goes on to talk about how, from his vantage point, he cannot control what the supposed oligarch, very rich person does in the Russian country in terms of elections. And he makes the comparison to what Soros is trying to do to the value of the EU, European Union currency.
The euro.
And then he really kind of blames that, by the way, on the State Department. Ask the U.S. State Department, he says. And I got to tell you, that really rung a big bell with me. I'm no Putin fan, but he's on to something.
I do like Putin. He's a leader.
He's a leader that kills his people, and you think women belong pregnant in the kitchen.
No, I do not. No, folks. I do not.
Oh, I don't know, Miles.
Especially Gina. She should not be pregnant in the kitchen.
She's going to thump you on top of the head when you get home. Folks, do me a favor. Visit RenegadeRiver.com. Follow us at TheMikeHewittShow.com and on Facebook. Please tell us what you think about what Ludwig said on Facebook.
Thumbs up, baby.
I'm just telling you. Miles Bauer, even Ludwig, thank you. Brian, thank you. Mostly, folks, thank you very, very much. We'll see you as soon as we can.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3237. That's 800-569-3237. Again, 800-569-3237.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, it's 8:06, time for 100 Chamber Radio weather. 858 degrees in Flemington right now. Overcast skies, 20% chance of precipitation today. That would be rain. Today is, well, let's see what we got. Maybe we need to update this a little bit. It is cloudy early with peaks of sunshine expected late. Slight chance of a rain shower and a high of 71. Winds east at 5 to 10 miles an hour. A clear sky and a